Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of DDO Plastics Industries Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital (PCG) Desk. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Renuka Sivasankar from PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital (Private Client Group), I welcome all of you to the Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of DDO Plastics Industries Limited. From the management today, we have Mr. Narendra Surana, Managing Director; Mr. Dev Surana, CEO; Mr. Arihant Bothra, CFO; and Mr. Rajesh Kothari, Director. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Dev Surana for his opening remarks, and we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you.
Thank you, Renuka. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our maiden earnings call. Our new investor presentation has been uploaded on the exchange, and we hope you have the opportunity to review it. Since this is the first time we are interacting at such a forum, I would like to throw some light on our journey, followed by the strategic updates for the financial year 2024. DDO Plastics, formerly known as Kalpana Industries Limited, Kalpana Group of Companies, is a four-decade-old group company. This company was founded with a clear vision to become the premier and most trusted polymer compound manufacturer and was always committed to continuous innovation and delivering top-tier products and services. With the polymer compound industry, we have established ourselves as the market leader in XLPE compounds, particularly serving the power cable sector. XLPE compounds are key components for the power cable industry, as these are the most critical for cable performance. Our other products, such as PP compounds, engineering plastic compounds, are also important for day-to-day life. They are found in everyday items like food packaging, automotive parts, and almost all electronics. We have a highly diversified product portfolio, which is utilized across various industries, such as cable industry, packaging industry, FMEG industry, and footwear industry. We have a deep focus on R&D and capability to meet the requirements of a diverse customer base. Over the years, we have strategically invested in our manufacturing facilities, modern equipment, and world-class research and development setup to ensure that we remain at the forefront of innovation and efficiency. This approach has enabled us to gain a good understanding of our customer requirements and has helped us build strong relationships with both suppliers and customers alike. All our products adhere to stringent quality standards validated by regular and consistent exports to our nearly 55 countries, underscoring our capabilities on the global stage. With manufacturing facilities strategically located in West Bengal, Daman and Silvassa, along India's east and west coast, we enjoy logistical advantages for imports and exports as well. Our largest facility, located in Surangi, Silvassa, boasts the state-of-the-art infrastructure and employs the latest processes technology for Cyaplast compound manufacturing. XLPE and Cyaplast compounds are major revenue contributors. DDO Plastics hold around 50% market share in Cyaplast and more than 33% market share in XLPE compounds. In line with our strategy to move towards high-value products, we have further increased our capacity in Cyaplast, XLPE, and Semicon compounds this fiscal year, which has resulted in better bottom line and high margins. Furthermore, we are expanding our product portfolio with the imminent launch of XLPE compound suitable for insulation for cables up to 132 kV, with plans to extend our focus up to 222 kV. At DDO Plastics, we are dedicated to upholding our legacy of excellence, driving innovation, and delivering unparalleled value to our customers worldwide. Having said that, we operate in an industry that is getting a lot of push from the government. The favorable momentum observed in the infrastructure, construction, and power sector feeds into the demand momentum for cables and wire sector. The cables and wire sector performance has been robust over the past several quarters, as you all have seen, and is anticipated to grow at a CAGR of 12.5% by the year financial year 27 to reach 1 lakh 20,000 crores in market size by financial year 27. A significant emerging trend in the wire and cable segment is the transition from PVC cables to halogen-free flame retardant, the HFFR cables. HFR insulated cables offer enhanced safety and benefits during fire incidents, notably reducing toxic gas emissions and improving feasibility for evacuations. Given the regulatory push towards incorporating HFR cables into the National Building Code of India, particularly for public spaces such as hospitals, schools, airports, train stations, we anticipate a substantial surge in demand for such cables in the coming years. To capitalize on this trend, our company also plans to ramp up its HFR capacity to 20,000 metric tons per annum by financial year 26. While we are delivering strong results, historically, our revenue for the fiscal stood at 2,431 crores. Our EBITDA for this fiscal year stood at 282 crores, growing by 52% year on year, and EBITDA margins were strong at 12%. From financial year 2020 to financial year 24, our profit after tax has grown by a CAGR of staggering 60%, clocking 182 crores in financial year 24. Our exceptional achievements highlight the robustness of our execution skills, skillfully employed through the utilization of our formidable market standing and advantageous market conditions. We have a strong balance sheet and became net debt-free in fourth quarter of financial year 24 and are committed to maintaining this status through financial year 25 and even beyond. Further, Dev Plastics was also stated and awarded by the Federation of the Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, FICCI, with excellence in export in the category export petrochemicals and also in the category of excellence in sub-sector plastics polymers and polymer processing compounding chemicals award. These awards are a reflection of trust and cooperation and belief reflected by the stakeholders in the company and efforts of teammates which has enabled us, the company, to achieve these accolades. During the year, the management also recommended final dividend at 100%, that is rupee 1 per fully paid up capital equity share of rupee 1, demonstrating our commitment to delivering substantial long-term returns to all our shareholders while maintaining a robust financial position. Going forward with the introduction of new products and strategic shift towards value-added offerings, our company is poised to achieve revenue targets of 4,500 to 5,000 crores by financial year 30, coupled with an improved margins as well. I would like to now hand over to Mr. Aryant Bothra, the CFO of our company, to take you through the financial performance of this quarter.
Thank you, Devji. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As Ranaji informed, Dev Plastics is one of the largest polymer compound manufacturers in India, with a capacity of 237,000 odd tons as on April 2024. Our extensive product range finds application across various end-user segments, notably in wire and cable industries. By supplying to renowned brands like APAR, Havells, KEI, KEC, Polycab, Ara Kabel, and others, we anticipate favorable impacts on the company's growth trajectory. In line with our commitment to sustainability, we have augmented our solar power capacity by 1 megawatt through a PPA with Amplus Solar, bringing our total installed solar capacity to 1.7 megawatt. This initiative underscores our dedication to reducing carbon emissions, with an estimated annual savings of 37,600 metric tons per annum. The company is strategically positioned to leverage its market leadership, expansive distribution network, ongoing product innovation, substantial capacity investments, and digitalization initiatives to seize prevailing market opportunities. With a planned capex of 300 crores over the next 3 years, we aim to further fortify our competitive edge and meet growing demand. Having said that, on the financial front, our revenue from operations for Q4 financial year 2024 stood at 597 odd crores. EBITDA stood at 92 crores, a growth of 22% on year-on-year basis, with EBITDA margin of 15%. PAT of 62 crores was reported in the quarter, registering a growth of 27% on year-on-year basis, with PAT margin of 10%. For fiscal year 24, revenue from operations stood at 2,431 crores. EBITDA stood at 282 crores, giving a growth of 52% on year-on-year basis, with EBITDA margin of 12%. PAT of 182 crores was reported in this financial year, with a growth of 25% year-on-year basis with PAT margin of roughly 7%. In this fiscal, we experienced strong demand from cable segment and our ongoing efforts to shape the product mix towards niche and high voltage products led to over 15% growth in volume, despite a price correction of 15-20%. This has largely contributed to better margins, growth in EBITDA and improved bottom line. I would further like to inform that CRISIL ratings have reaffirmed our long-term and short-term ratings, while the outlook for the long-term rating has been revised from stable to positive. As we look ahead, our dedication to excellence and growth remains resolute. We will continue to prioritize customer satisfaction and innovation while exploring new avenues for expansion and diversification, both at home and abroad. With favorable market condition and supportive government policies, we anticipate substantial value creation for our stakeholders. Thank you. I think we can go ahead with the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from Smart Sync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Firstly, congratulations on an amazing quarter and a good financial year. And thank you so much for doing your maiden con call. My first question was that how much of our margin improvement is being led by product mix and raw material cost? And what is the sustainable blended margins that we can expect going forward?
So if you see, constantly we are working on our product mix and we are reducing our exposure to when we say the product basket in the anti-fibrillation compounds and to some extent in the PVC compounds, commodity products. With this, you can see now the sustainable margin will be in the range of 11-12% of EBITDA.
Got it, sir. Got it. So this entire margin improvement is being led by product mix and not lower raw material cost. Is my understanding correct, sir?
Our industry is more of passing on the raw material cost. That is why if you see the turnover has come down with the reduction in raw material prices. It is straight passed on.
Got it, sir. That is very helpful. And sir, my second question was that can we quantify in rupees term on how much revenues are 20,000 MTPA HFFR facility can generate? And when we guide our revenues to double by FY30, are we expecting this revenue growth to come from our existing product mix or do we have some other products lined up?
So, two things. I will take the second one first. So we are constantly working on product mix and as you have seen, we are constantly working on the product innovations as well. So this 132 kV, 220 kV, which are not produced in India as of now, will be the revenue generators in addition to what existing products are contributing. Secondly, HFFR will be additional product contributor, which will be contributing 10-15% of revenue over a period of time.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, if I can just squeeze in another question, then currently we clock fixed asset turnover of around 10x. So can we expect the similar numbers for our 300 crores worth capex going forward? That means can we expect around 3000 crores worth of revenue from the additional 300 crores capex?
See, it is like that. It's a sustainable capex point of view. We need to first ramp up our capex to make it suitable for next level of growth. Right now, committed capex of 300 crores is for next level of growth. We have to create additional infrastructure and sites as well as we have to keep way for new capacities also. With this put together, definitely we are eyeing that the asset turnover will be achieved again after a period of consolidation.
Got it, sir. That is very helpful. I will join back the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pritesh Sheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. In your total volumes of 1,66,000, how much will be now the volume for Styroplus, XLP, Semicon combined?
Around 1,16,000 is the volume from that particular segment.
Okay. And on the profitability improvement per kg, so, you know, whether it is GP or whether it is EBITDA per kg, The profitability has doubled in 2 years. So from about 7.5 rupees a kg, it's moved to about 15 rupees a kg in 24. There was an improvement in 23 and now there is a further improvement in 24.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any element of raw material price drop which is not passed and which normalizes itself, or we take this 15 rupees a kg as your profitability increment?
I will request Kothari to answer this.
Yeah. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. See, the profitability improvement in last 2 years has come mainly from the product range improvement or product portfolio improvement, because we have moved more towards medium voltage and high voltage insulation compounds, semicon compounds, and reduced our exposure to, say, low margin PVC and antifibrillation compound, which Arihant has highlighted just now. And another factor which has improved our profitability is the increased share of export. You can see in last 2 years, our export share has gone up substantially, which in general contribute better margins. And as you have said, that 15,000 rupees a kg, kind of a blended margin for the turnover, is sustainable. And as Arihant has said, that price increase or decrease is mostly passed on. A couple of percent is here and there, 1% or 1.5% of improvement, because of in some quarters the price rebates, you depending upon the demand strength, you may end up not passing to the customer. So, but that is not happening in every quarter. It happens in some of the quarters where you retain those 1% kind of rebates with your pocket.
Okay. And my last two question is, sir, how much HFFR volumes did we do in FY24? And in 2 years, where do you take these volumes to? And this capex that you are doing of about 125 crores in 25 and about 70 crores in 26. So it's like some 180 to 200 crores of capex. How much capacity you will end up adding?
Yeah, so first I will talk about HFFR, the volumes which we intend to achieve in next 2-3 years, and Arihant probably will be able to answer on the capex and the capacity increase. So HFFR, this year we have been able to utilize around 30% of our capacity, which we hope that next year in financial year 25, we should be able to achieve capacity utilization of almost 60% to 70% of current capacity. Because this is a new product for us, and in cable industry, the approval takes time. So we are having more and more customers with us who have approved our product in last, say, 1 year time, and another 1 year time, we will be able to add more approvals from the customer, and that will add to our regular volume. And we hope that this entire capacity, which is we are having in hand, should be sold out by FY26.
It's a 5,000 ton capacity.
Yeah.
And on the second question of capex,
so I will two questions together as well. The capacity utilization, as you have already given the figures of roughly 30-odd%, the exact quantum is around 1,500 tons in sales. Whilst the capex, there are two parts to it. One, we are creating new infra both at eastern coast and western coast of India. This will be augmented in the current financial year for next level of growth, because we don't have more space to add more capacities. So these two sites will together will be major investment, and then there will be a capacity addition of HFFR to the tune of 15,000 tons in these two financial years. Rather, we have projected for next 3 years. In the third year, we are planning to add more capacities of polyethylene, Cyoplus and XLP compounds.
So, sir, by spending initially 200 crores, you will create the infra, which will have 15,000 tons of HFFR, and then you will keep on adding lines to create the Cyoplus XLP compounding line, right? That's how it is.
All the major products, Cyoplus, XLP, Semicon, even HFFR.
So on the total infra, what kind of total volumes eventually the capacity will have?
So with the new capacities, probably we will be able to add another 60 to 80,000 tons of capacities.
So 200 crores will lead to 15,000 of HFFR plus 80,000 tons of the other compound. About
the new infra will be for physical infra. This 60 to 80,000 tons will be an additional investment. However, infra will be ready.
So infra is ready for what volume to what kind of capacity?
60 to 80,000 tons.
60 to 80,000. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
I request you to use your handset mode, please. Your voice is not very clear.
Am I audible right now?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, what was the inventory gain for the quarter? Because our margins seem to be a bit on the higher side than what you have mentioned.
So there is no major inventory gain over here. Our price policies are transparent. We change our price every week. If there is an increase or decrease, that is immediately passed on to customers. So in that form, there is no major inventory gains which lies in our books.
So can you expect the 14-15% EBITDA margin going forward as our this high margin products get in our more of our revenue mix?
No, we have to, as Mr. Kothari informed, we have to consider a blended margin of 11-12% of EBITDA, since in the last quarter it is always an additional discount which is on annual basis account for. So that is why if you see all the March quarters have an exceptional profitability. However, if you see the annual figure, it is a right sustainable growth, rather EBITDA we can achieve.
Okay, and so just a final question, sir. We are guiding towards growth in the 6-year period, so a 12% kind of growth for the FY30. So can we expect this growth to have a higher momentum, or is this on a conservative basis?
We always give our numbers on a conservative basis because we first target what we can achieve immediately with the existing infrastructure and capacities and the market potential. And whenever there is an additional opportunity, we are not letting it go, we are grabbing it. In the current fiscal year, you can see we have given an outlook much lower than what we have achieved. But definitely, whenever we got this opportunity, we have achieved those.
Okay. So just one more question. Sir, on engineering plastic side, what kind of products do we manufacture?
We generally manufacture compounds for electrical industry, lighting and light related, electrical related. And this is a niche product we supply to only limited customers, which are right now 100% imported apart from us.
Okay. So nothing related to what ABS or that kind of product?
What ABS and other products which others manufacture, ABS, nylon, we don't manufacture those.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Anand Mundra from Soar Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Sir, my questions are answered. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is on your revenue split by geography. Your overseas revenue is approximately 25%. So can you just tell us what exactly do you export and which countries would this be majorly?
Kothari ji, I would request you to take.
See, I couldn't get the question clearly. The voice was
understand what we export and what are the target countries.
Yeah, so we are mostly we are exporting the products which goes for the cable industry. And within that, we are exporting mostly the XLP insulation compound and semiconducting compound and halogen free flame retardant compounds. And we are exporting to all continents. I would say we are exporting almost 50 countries, except the North America and Australia and New Zealand. The rest of the world, we are having our presence. So on the east side, we are exporting to Thailand, Malaysia. On the Middle East, we are exporting to all the Middle Eastern countries like Oman, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and then Jordan, and then in the North Africa, Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, then Europe, South Europe, then Latin America. So we are having our consistent exports to almost 50 countries.
So you said you do not export to North America. Any specific reasons? Because most of the wires and cable companies have been very bullish in terms of North American and European geography.
Yes.
So any plans to get into that market?
Yes, you are absolutely right. See, our cable customers, they are exporting to US in a big way. And we are supporting them. We are having an indirect export to USA via our cable customers. And there are certain approvals which are required to get in North American market. Underwriters laboratory approvals are required, and we are already in the process of getting certain approvals within this calendar year. And once that is done, then definitely we would like to penetrate that market as well.
Understood. And sir, you had mentioned in your commentary to one of the previous participants that export margins are better than domestic. Any sense you can give in terms of what is the difference between margins?
It is definitely 2 to 3% average better margins you get from the international market.
Okay, so then, sir, are we, I mean, is there a medium-term target in terms of taking this 25% export revenues to greater contribution in our top line?
No, see, here the percentage will remain same because the export market is growing and we are trying to take the share from the export market. But at the same time, Indian market is also growing very strongly. So we will not leave this market unattended. So on the if you look at the total pie, then our business will go up, the ratios more or less will remain same.
Understood, sir. So second question on the domestic side. So when I see your revenue distribution by sector, again, wires and cables is approximately 75%. And because you said that overseas export is mostly for wires and cables, even if I remove that 25%, so 50% is domestic. Now in that, you've said that 22% your revenue contribution comes from all the major players like a Polycab, KA, Havells, etc. So for the remaining 20 to 25%, can you tell us which client would be driving this kind of revenue for you?
It is Indian cable industry is very big. I think today, if you list out, there would be small to medium, there would be 300 to 500 companies operating in this segment. So they are very small customers, and almost everybody is our customer. Every cable producer is our customer.
Got it. And lastly, sir, in terms of any guidance that you can give at this point as to what is the CAGR that you're expecting to grow in terms of the medium term, say 2 to 3 years down the line, and also your consolidated EBITDA margin? That would be my last question. Thank you.
Aryan?
So we are expecting to grow at 12 to 15% of at 12 to 15% CAGR with the EBITDA margin of roughly 10 to 12%.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, would like to remind participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar Surana ji and Bhatra ji. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when we look at your presentation, page number, your strategically located manufacturing facility, wherein you have mentioned that we have an HFFR capacity of 5,000 metric ton.
Uh-huh.
Correct, sir?
Yes.
And in your slide number 8, when you were describing about the product, it is mentioned that it is a sunrise sector with a demand anticipated to reach 700 tons. So, just wanted to understand, where is this gap? I mean, our capacity is 5,000 tons?
Actually, it's not ton, it's trillion, basically. Anyway, the focus is that HFFR is the next big thing which is going to come. Already there in overseas countries, the stipulation has just come in India over the last couple of years when it has become mandate to use in all the public places. Now, over a period of time, we expect that it will replace PVC in all the public places, and with passing time, it may also replace the house wiring cables also. So that is the market we are expecting to grow, and that is the amount which has been mentioned over there is not in quantity terms, it is in value terms which we also.
Okay, because the rupee is not mentioned there.
No, okay, we'll correct.
Sir, if you could just explain the application of it, how ye exactly kya product hai, aur aap jab PVC se iska replacement ka ullekh kar rahe hain, to aap kya batana cha rahe hain, abhi currently kaise iska uses hai aur ye replace kaise karega?
Aryan, I will take this question. Hello?
Yes, please continue, Pudhariji. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, today we are using PVC for our building wire, jo humare ghar mein jo cable lage hote hain, wo PVC ke bane hote hain, jisme you see the copper as a conductor carrying current, and PVC, which is red, yellow, blue color, what you see is a PVC insulation. Now, in case of short circuit and fire, what happens that the PVC will burn. So any insulation which is there over the conductor will burn. Okay. Now, out of the burning, the PVC will release toxic gases, halogenated gases, which are bad for any human being. And people will die out of suffocation. And also PVC will generate very dark smoke, which is the very dark blackish smoke. So the light transmission will be very poor. So that will also create a problem for evacuation. Whereas halogen-free flame retardant, you can read it from the words, halogen-free flame retardant means it does not emit any halogenated or hazardous gas, which is bad for human. So there will be no death or no suffocation. That is one advantage in case there is a fire. And the second advantage is the smoke which is coming out of burning of halogen-free flame retardant cable would be very, very transparent and not that dense. So light transmission, for example, in case of PVC, when it burns, is just 20%, 30%. And in case of halogen-free flame retardant, the light transmission is as high as 90%. So that is why this product is far superior and safe for application in any kind of residential area or public place. That is why it is being promoted and should replace PVC over a period of time.
Sir, you mentioned in your presentation among the two producers of HFFR in India. So who are the who is the other player and what is their market share or capacity currently?
The other player is Shakun Polymers, which has been taken over by a Mexican company, Orabia Group. Okay, and they are having the highest capacity for this product. I think they are having a capacity of around 20,000 tons per annum.
Okay. And you talk about the product acceptance also and regulatory clearances also from the government. So that is what you alluded to, that we have received that now the producers have received the product introduction in the manufacturing of wires, and then the demand will move up. That is what.
No. There are two different things. One is government's regulatory action will generate the demand in general for everybody. Okay. And another thing which we said in our discussion is that our capacity utilization will be dependent of getting the customer's approval. And cable approval is a long-term process. They will make the cable, they will test in their own laboratory, first at compound test, then at cable test, electrical test and field test. So all these tests take time. Any approval with any customer generally takes six months to 1 year's time. So even your product is good and is working with, say, X cable customer, another customer will not buy just like that based on somebody else's approval. They would like to use and try in their laboratory there and then they start buying. So these are two different things.
Sir, two small points and I joined the two. Firstly, on a peak turnover of current capacity of 5,000, which will reach in 3 years, what would be the revenue generation? And currently, sir, agar hum PVC ka value proposition dekhe, jisko replace karenge HFFR se, to wo kitna value ka hoga? Then that means that there will be a lower demand of PVC to that proportionate to what HFFR will replace. That understanding is correct, sir?
Yes. PVC demand will go down and HFFR will replace. Now, this question, this point is very clear, but another two questions I couldn't get.
Sir, this is 5,000 metric ton ki jo capacity hum bata rahe hain, jo peak hogi hamari current status pe, usse peak revenue kya expected rahega? Aur is saal hum kya utilization reach karne wale?
Aryan, this is something which you please respond.
Yes. So at 5,000 tons full utilization, we expect a turnover of roughly 80 to 85 odd crores in the overall product basket.
So that is very minuscule, sir. At a strong top line, big top line of 3,000 plus, 80 crores is a very...
This is the capacity we have started with just to get the approvals. We have plans to add further capacities in this particular line of business, which is now proposed to add further 15,000 tons. I will hand over Mr. Surana. He will add for you.
See, it is like this, you know. May I know the name of the gentleman, please?
My name is Saket Kapoor.
Kapoor sir, I am N.K. Surana. So, see, it is like this. HFFR is going to be the next big thing which is happening, okay? So, it always takes time to take approval. You know, in HFFR also, there are many different categories also. Like, you know, it's very difficult category, that is cross-link HFFR compound. That also we have started making, okay? We started with a small capacity of 5,000 tons, But this 5,000 ton will prepare a base for us for next 50,000 tons. Okay? And we already have a set market in XLP, whether it's Cyprus peroxide or semicon. So they are going to be our customer only. To ramp up the capacity from 5,000 ton to 25,000 tons is only you have to need add machines. That's all. Because the approvals are in place, the different varieties approval are in place, the produce and, you know, gain confidence for the different quality of product that also in place. So you have to add 1, 2, 3 machines only. And that's why we are already, you know, in negotiation with few European suppliers. And within 1 year, we are adding one more capacity of 15,000 tons. Then we'll keep on adding like we have done in the case of Cyprus and peroxide compound. I hope it answers your question.
Yes, sir. If anything is left, I will take offline from Arian. The last point is on the other expenses, the postnet also. When you look at...
I will reply to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the other expenses part, if you could just explain the component, because since our revenue part is on a pass-on basis, it is hard to understand how to evaluate the other expenses component as a percentage of this, or what are the key components.
May I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Yes, ma'am. Ask the question and let the management answer, and I'll call join the
queue. Yes. So, see, other expenses, you will get the detail in annual report also, though. It captures mainly the direct expenses like power and fuel, the selling and distribution expenses, the repair maintenance, the stores consumable, and these are the major heads. Then there are minor heads as well. So that is the major category.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from Smart Sync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Can you use your handset mode, please? You're not clearly audible.
Sir, I just wanted to understand, how do we perceive the risk of a customer producing these products themselves rather than sourcing from us?
Will you reply?
Yes. Suraj, you can please go ahead with this.
Achha. See, definitely a very pertinent question, you know. But at the same time, if you see that every cable producer, they cannot produce, this compound all by themselves. That is number one. And whosoever will take a plunge in, producing this compound, they also cannot produce all varieties of compound. Because at the end of the day, compound is producing compound and different kind of compounds. We have series of compounds, you know. And many have, many, many different technology. So it's not that, say, somebody is going for, one kind of compound and day in and day out they are producing it. No, no. It has got many, many different varieties of compound, and by every passing day, and the government structure also, they are producing a new compound in the market, not only in our country, but abroad also. So, you see, producing compound is a focus job. So any cable manufacturer, however big or however small he can be, but he cannot produce first all varieties of compound, that is number one. Number two, if some varieties of compound are produced, then the market is, having such an exponential growth. So that will hardly have any impact on a compound like us. And then we are not just dependent on only one market, two markets, one variety or two varieties only. The entire world we are exploring, and different kind of compound and specialist compound. For example, just now answered the Kapoor Sahib that about this HFFR. HFR has got many varieties, and the toughest variety is in HFR also cross-link variety. So that any cable manufacturer, they cannot produce it so very easily. You need to have a compounder also for that, who can do that. So the risks are there, but risk is there in every business, but risk is mitigated. So we are quite aware of, what cable manufacturers can do and what we are capable of doing it. So we are quite sure of and confident of our growth actually. Because we have got many, many compound up our sleeves, which we can produce. And let me tell you, for example, as Mr. Arian Bothra told you that we are in the process of, introducing the XLP compound number 230 kV and beyond also in coming, 2-3 years time. 132, so we will achieve in 1 year time only. That no cable manufacturer can produce. No cable manufacturer. It is impossible.
Got it. That is very helpful. I was just trying to understand this only, that does this compound have some technical complexity that avoids others from producing? So I got my answer.
Yeah, yeah. There are many different kind of compounds, you know. It's not that only one compound you just set up the machine and you're producing day in and day out. No, no. There are many varieties of compounds, and the more you go up, you know, in the chain, right up to 450, even 600 kV, now the compounds are being produced all over the world. Our objective and our effort are definitely to achieve that, but it will take a long time, maybe another 3 to 5 years time, you know. But then that is not a cup of tea which any cable manufacturer can drink.
Got it. That is very helpful, sir. And sir, my second question was that how is the management team split between Kalpana Industries and Deep Plastic? And is it fair to say that the maximum time and resources...
No, please. I have understood your question where you are coming from, you know. There are two different and two separate teams for both the projects. You know, there are two different verticals altogether. Kalpana is focusing solely on recycling, and we call it upcycling compound. That is upcycling business. And as you all know, that coming decade, you know, one decade or two decade, it is going to be dedicated to the recycling business only, be it in plastic recycling or metal recycling or any kind of other recycling. Okay, so that is why to focus on two different business, you know, we created two different modules and two different verticals. So their plastic team is looking solely only after their plastic business, and Kalpana plastic team is looking solely and exclusively on this recycling, upcycling business. And if you are talking about my time, definitely I'm you know, focusing on both the business.
That is very helpful. So I was just trying to understand this only because given the tailwinds in recycling space, our revenues on Kalpana is falling off the cliff. So I wanted to understand, like, is it because we are unable to give less time on that business or there is some headwinds?
But do you want to, me to touch upon Kalpana business in this particular, I think we can discuss separately on Kalpana.
We can take that offline, yes sir, no issue sir.
Yeah, yes. Please, because we are focusing only on their industries today. Okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Chirag from White Pine. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on this 300 crore capex. So first, sir, if I understand correctly, this 300 crore capex over next 3 years that you are planning, large part of that is going for creating a infrastructure base for future growth. And terminal at the end of 3 years, you will have 15,000 tons of HFSR. And maybe 80,000 tons of industrial compound. Is this the correct understanding, sir, of this 300 crore capex?
No. Marginally, you are correct. Marginally, I need to correct. The infrastructure is correct. HFFR is correct. But the 80,000 tons is not, the infra is for 80,000 tons. But the capex for the other compounds will be adding capacity roughly 20 to 25,000 tons.
So overall, by the end of the 300 crore capex, you will have around 100,000 tons of non-HFFR capacity, correct? That is the way to understand.
No. The understanding, there will be a physical infra at two different locations, East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah.
And capacity addition will be roughly 40,000 tons, split between HFFR 15,000 tons and other compounds 25,000 tons.
Okay. And then you are creating a base for further addition by adding just machine lines which will not install significant capex.
Yes.
Right. So if I have to understand from S24 and say March 24 till 26, what kind of capacities will come? So if will come up, will be added. If you can just give a broader ramp up that first by N25 HFFR will come. How will this 3 year capacity will look? How the ramp-up will happen on addition side?
So you will see the next ramp-up of capacity in FY26. In FY25, we'll create the infrastructure. And FY26, the new capacity for HFFR will be added. And FY27, the balance for other compounds will be added.
Okay, this is helpful. And after that, sir, just to understand how fast you can add capacity. And generally, what is the minimum batch size or minimum capacity that you will add? So after 27, when the basic infra is ready, and after that you just need to add machines. So it is a 3-4 month or 6 month period, or it takes a longer time?
Kodaj, you will answer or?
Let me answer this.
Yeah.
See, the first core infra is having your land and building ready to accept the machines, and you have the electrical installation to increase your power capacity, power receiving capacity. So this is core infra. Now, once that infra is good enough for a certain tonnage, then the machine size depend upon product to product. In some cases, the machine could be, say, 1,000 kg per hour. In some cases, it could be 2,000 kg per hour. And generally, it takes a year's time from the date of order to commission your machine, generally. Sometime it could be 3 months more, or some kind of time it could be 3 months less.
Okay, so it takes a year's time, and then maybe another two months to stabilize the machine.
Yeah, those are all contingent things. Means you cannot really project on that.
No, fair point. No, this is helpful that this is there, because I was getting slightly confused on how capacity is coming up.
Yeah.
I will just clarify, sir, one thing, that the basic infra, the greenfield infra that you are creating, that can handle what kind of capacity? What is the terminal capacity of the greenfield infra that you are creating?
So, Arians has told this earlier, but let me repeat. This capacity what we are creating is the land and building. I'm saying land and building and electrical installation kind of infra which we are creating is going to handle 15,000 tons of HFFR capacity additionally, and another 45,000 to 55,000 tons of other products. So in totality, anything between 60,000 to 70,000 tons of fresh product.
But that would be phase one.
Mr. Chirag, may I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity, and congratulations for the strong set of numbers. Sir, I was going through the investment PPT that you have uploaded and came across this slide number 27. So, where you say we expect to continue to grow at 15% CAGR in next 5 years, whereas you below that you have written that there is maintaining a growth and targeting a revenue of 5,000 crore over the next 3 years. Okay. So, is there any specific case of 5,000 crore over the next year, as in you are targeting a 5,000 crore revenue in 3 years, and a 15% CAGR growth is just a conservative estimate?
There is a minor correction over there which has been devised. It is next 5 years. In all our earlier slides and write-ups, we have given it as 5 years. Unfortunately, we wanted to present it in a different way, which has come as 3 years. The revised presentation is already uploaded. So we are targeting a 12 to 15% CAGR and a conservative side for next 5 years, which has been mentioned in the earlier point. And the turnover will be roughly 5,000 crores in the next 5 years.
Oh, okay, got it. Also, sir, on the CO plus XLPE compound, so from the
region... Could you use your handset mode, please? There's some echo on your line.
Yeah, is it okay now? Hello?
Yeah, it is better.
Yeah, so when it comes to your CO plus or XLPE compound, I wanted to understand, out of this greenfield expansion that we are doing and the 15,000 tons expansion coming for HFFR, so any non-HFFR addition would be purely XLPE compound additions, or would there be engineered plastic compounds and other compounds as well?
It's not that we are working only on XLPE compound only, or we are working only on HFR compound. There are many other compounds in the pipeline. You know, it will be premature to discuss about those compounds. But company is in the process of, acquiring new technologies for different varieties of compound. Okay, so that we can, expand our field of business in a different way altogether. Okay, but that we cannot, till it really matures, we cannot discuss about it. But we are trying to develop many other compounds, as well.
Okay. So because...
I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other...
Just one question, continuation to the same part, right? I mean, for the XLPE compound, just one part if I could...
Please use your handset mode, Mr. Iyer. We are getting some echo from your line.
Right. Hold on a second. Yeah. So, sir, what I was saying is, So in this Europlus or XLPE compound, which majorly caters to cap goods and power sector, so FY19 to FY23, there was not much of a volume growth, but FY24 has seen a good volume growth. And in general, what we are hearing is cap good is poised for growth for next three, four years. So is there any specific reason that we are not expanding more on this front? I mean, we have a capacity of  142,000, and we have already done 115,000.
Sorry, I will come in here. We are not saying that we'll not be adding capacity. Okay, this infra, the greenfield infra, which is being created as we exhaust our existing capacity for Syoplus and XLPE and semicon, we'll continue to add capacity over there. You probably heard the last question that the time which is taken for creating such capacity is generally 1 year. So as we exhaust the capacities, we'll keep on adding capacity.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Got it. Yes, sir. That's all from my side. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohan from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
No, not clearly audible. Please use your handset mode.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. I wanted to ask you regarding the HSF HART portfolio. As you see, the flame retardant market is dominated by brominated flame retardant, and you have got into halogenated flame-free flame retardant. So can you explain about the overall industry scenario?
No. Flame retardant market is not dominated by brominated products for the segment which we are talking about. And we are not going for halogenated. We are going for halogen-free. So this is a different chemistry. So for the cable application, okay, whatever is being used today, I'm not talking of any other flame retardant market, but for the cable, it is not dominated by brominated, this one, flame retardant.
Okay. Okay. And what would be the pricing structure between HFR portfolio and non-HFR portfolio currently? So will it be a premium pricing?
Yeah. It is. The pricing will be commensurate to the value it delivers.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That was only from my side.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rushabh Doshi from Nirmiti Investment Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible?
Sir, please use your handset mode.
Yeah. This one. Yeah. Hi. So I'm comparatively new to the company, so I just had some basic questions. I just wanted to understand how larger companies like Polycab, KEI, give us orders. Do they give us a monthly, weekly, or quarterly schedule? And exactly how many SKUs do we manage?
Mr. Kothari can answer this question. Yeah. So see, the order flow from all our customers is a regular flow. A kind of a forecast is there. And based on that, the order keep coming. Sometimes they are weekly, and sometimes they are monthly. Maximum, the monthly orders are there. This is one. And as far as the product, we are handling around 200 grades or 200 SKUs of the products for our cable customers.
Yeah. And are these SKUs sometimes customized for the specific clients, or all these compounds are more or less general, like the chemical composition is defined?
No, we do tailor-made compounds for the customer-specific requirement.
Okay. My second question was, in the call, you mentioned that the last quarter has some discounting. So can you just explain how it exactly works? How do we give discounts to our customers?
No, it is not a question of giving discount to the customer. I say that there is a mean margin, mean EBITDA, which Arihant has just explained, which is 11%-12% kind of an EBITDA. But when the demand is strong, extremely strong, and then you are getting some off-take-based discount, so if you improve your off-take, you get a certain discount, and which you can pocket. You need not to pass to your customer because your pricing contracts are based on certain other parameters. So the quarters which are very strong, you can add 1-1.5% kind of EBITDA because of that reason.
Okay. Just one bookkeeping question. I just noticed that our account payable days are.
Sir, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We'll take our next question from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that how come our operating margin increased almost doubled from 6% in FY23 to 11% in FY24 when our volumes increased by only 14%. And also, if we look at the product mix in your investor presentation on page number 16, there is not much difference, like XLPE proportion in the revenue increase from only 64% to 69%. So basically what I'm trying to understand that, did we have some inventory gain or are the spreads historically high in FY24? And going forward, sir, what is the risk that you see that the margins or the spreads might again come down to mid-single digit?
Dev, you will answer, Kodariji, or I will answer?
Let Kodariji answer.
Kodariji?
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the first point, as we have explained in earlier question, that there is no inventory gain here. And as far as the numbers from XLP group is coming, if you look at 3 years data, two points which I highlighted in my answer to another participant, is that the volume, this margin growth has come from two factors. A, we have reduced our dependence on the low margin product and moved those capacity to high margin product, and this is not 1 year's process. It is in last 3-4 years we have done, and you might have seen the big jump in last 2 years. But this process has started 2-3 years back or maybe 4 years back, where we have reduced our exposure to low margin product like PVC and antifibrillation and moved some capacity from antifibrillation to Sioplast and XLP area. That is one. Secondly, you can see that if you compare our export in year 2021-22 versus what it has been in 23-24, you see significant growth in that share of export. And in the XLP, this year itself, XLP group, the volume growth is 20%. Last year also was in greater than 10%. So in last 2 years from the baseline, you probably will see a growth of volume from this core segment by almost 35%. So I'm really not able to understand from where you are getting this revenue growth of only 5% from this segment.
I can add to it. Basically, probably what he wants to understand is, in Sioplast grade, the capacity has not much moved in utilization levels, but the turnover contribution as well as the margins have improved. So that is main contributor, as Kotharaji has informed, is of product mix. We have constantly worked towards the product mix and reduced our exposure in low voltage 1.1 kV products and moved the capacities towards 3366 and beyond, and specialty niche compounds. This has led to increase in the overall capacity utilization in this current financial year. However, there has been a constant change of mix in the same basket over the last 3 years, which has led to increased contributions and, you can say, margins.
Sir, also, sir, do you expect the margins to again fall back to mid-single digit numbers, sir? Under what circumstances will that happen?
Hariji?
Hello? Sorry, I missed the question.
Sir, I'm trying to understand, sir, in 1 year, the margin went from 6 to 11%, whereas there is not that much change in the product mix in the past 1 year alone. Sir, so what I'm trying to understand is that going forward, what is the risk that again our margins might fall back to mid-single digit number?
The answer to this has been given multiple times during this conference, is that we are forecasting a volume or top line growth with a 15% CAGR, and we say that 11 to 12% kind of EBITDA is sustainable. We are not saying that this 15% EBITDA can sustain. If you look at this quarter, EBITDA is higher, but if you look at the average of this year EBITDA, I think, Arjun, it is close to 13% or what?
11.5 to 12%.
So this 11% to 12% range is sustainable. This quarter, the end, Arjun has earlier explained that last quarter, we are getting all the rebates credited to us based on our yearly offtake agreement with our supplier. So this quarter always would show you higher profitability because those discounts are accounted for in this quarter.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict to 2 questions at a time, please. We'll take our next question from the line of Aegis Lakhani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One is, how are you planning to fund the capex that you're likely to incur? And second, Mr. Bothra, you mentioned that the margin outlook from an EBITDA perspective is 10 to 12%. The query here is that shouldn't we look at this business on a per kg basis versus a 10 to 12% range? How should we think about these two?
The first, as you said, is I can say that you have to see rather it in the EBITDA percentage only, mainly basis, because the value of raw material changing. So if we keep the per kg moving as well as the changing product mix which is constantly having, you will be not getting the correct picture. Even Philips Capital has tried to present there in their write-up whatever they wanted to give. But the point what company wants to say is it should be EBITDA percentage basis mainly. And the funding will be mainly from the internal accruals. We are not eyeing for any term loan or any equity infusion.
Got it. So the other query that I had is, you know, given that, you know, you are one of the sole producers of halogen-free FFFR, I wanted to understand that if the demand outlook is so strong and, you know, there are just two producers, why is the margin range almost like the blended normal margin range? Why is there no pricing power which is seeping into better margins?
So two things to it. Point number one, this is a market wherein just the government stipulation has come. So now with the passage of time, there will be detailed specification and everything which will be coming in into the market, point number one. Point number two, with this, there is an approval process as well. We have to go through the approval process, get the approvals done, there will be commercial lots and then increase in quantities over time. Once we see that, then definitely there will be a better EBITDA margins in that particular product, because that is a much more complex product to make that compared to the PVC and other products.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Sir, so for this financial year, as you alluded that the product mix has significantly changed towards the higher EHV cable compound. So this is going to be the likelihood for the coming year also with the increase in volume that we are articulating for the current financial year, the share of EHV cable compounds would be higher?
It is not EHV, it is high voltage, because high voltage is up to 72 kV. So we have moved from our focus from 1.1 kV to 36 kV and 72 kV, and there are also some specialized compounds for 72 kV application. And as we all hear the commentary from the power distribution company and power cable companies, that lot of expenditure, lot of capex is planned for the distribution network. And there the mostly the cable which will be used will be 36 kV and above. So 36, 72, 132, 220 kind of cables will be used there. So the demand will be sustaining for this segment for sure.
We are not getting to the EHV segment, sir?
No, not yet. As during the presentation, we have said that 132 kV we would be launching within this financial year, and then we will think of the next stage, that is 220 kV.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Naman Bararia from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon. First of all, congrats for a good set of numbers. I had a question about the order book. So as you answered previously, there are declining monthly orders generally. So I don't think there is any considerable amount of order book there. Am I right in interpreting this?
Sorry?
I will take this. See, in our business, it's mostly a short-term order which is coming in, whether that is weekly order or a bi-weekly order or a monthly order. So as far as order book is concerned, it is something is not a right way of looking into this particular business. However, you can see the order book of cable companies, what power cables and distribution cables order book they have, which will give a clear indication how the market is moving.
Okay, and I have one more question that you previously named other player in HFFR segment. So can you name it again, please?
Shakun Polymers.
Shakun Polymers. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Mayank Pandit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, I wanted to ask one thing. In the HFFR compound market, what I read is that, and what I understand is that the technical support that a company provides is very important. And also the certifications involved plays a very important role in getting acceptance from new clients. So I wanted to understand, will we have to invest in the technical support team for the HFFR, or the same team can, you know, take care of this as well? And also, you know, what is our plan for getting certifications like UL and EN standards?
Yes. So this, our technical services team, which is handling the other product like XLP, Semicon, and this and that, that team is capable enough to handle HFFR activity as well. And we, as Dev Plastic, has got a very strong brand equity as far as the after-sales service is concerned. That is one of our biggest strengths. So that there we are having enough capability already built in to take care of this aspect. As far as the certification is concerned, yes, we are, as and when required, say certain certification from UL, certain certification from VDE, certain certification from the Indian authorities, yes, we are working at it. And that is a regular process.
Okay, okay. And then my second question is around the, Kalpana Industry and Dev Plastic. So in one of your interviews, you had mentioned that, there could be some benefits from the recycling industry that get passed on to Dev Plastic in case of any government regulations coming in. So just wanted to understand, sir, how do you see that playing out? Can that, improve our margins or revenue in any way?
Yes, no. It is basically from the angle of synergy. Okay. See, today our cable customers all are looking for reducing their carbon footprint. And for reduction of carbon footprint, using reprocessed polymer is one of the way to achieve that objective. So if our existing customer, they look for a solution to reduce their carbon footprint, probably a synergy between what Kalpana is doing and what Dev is doing, we can derive a better benefit for ourselves. Because Kalpana is doing reprocessing of polymers, so the reprocessed polymer from Kalpana could help us to deliver that value to our customer in the cable compound segment.
Thank you. We'll take that as last question for today. I now hand over the call to the management team for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Kothar, you would like to do, or Dev?
I would just like to thank everybody for participating in this. Was a amazing phone call, and it seems that it went pretty well. And we'll do more such calls. And we always invite feedback queries from all our stakeholders and investors. So always feel free to clear out your queries. And on a closing note, would just like to thank everybody for participating, also from Philips Capital for organizing this, and to my peer management team as well. So all the best, and looking forward to a better year ahead.
Kothaji, would like to say something?
I'll thank everybody.
Yeah, we will conclude by saying that, that as Dev Plastic, we are at the right place at the right time, and we are in the process of developing and introducing many new compounds and many exciting compounds, and we have embarked on a journey which is really very enriching, and it will definitely take us from places to places, and this is what it is. And I thank you profusely, the Philips Capital team, as well as all the participants, for the excellent questions, and I hope we have been able to answer everybody to the best of our capability and knowledge. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Philips Capital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.